section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Dan O'Brien rumors, delayed checks, and talk is Jericho. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Taz and TNA are at odds. What's going on with this, Aaron?
Yeah, so Taz apparently is not very happy with his role right now today, and he missed a voiceover session. So one of the things that Impact Wrestling has been doing recently is they've had Taz and Josh Matthews do the play-by-play at a separate location, which is actually in Tennessee. And so Taz apparently was pretty upset about some recent pay or something else going on there, and so he decided to say no to it.
That's kind of weird that they would do that, but is this just showing that they are not prepared to do the voiceovers like they should be? Like, they're not taping them live, or they're taping them semi-live?
Well, I don't, you know what? I actually agree with TNA here more than Taz, and the main reason is because this. If you have a job, let's say that you are a garbage man, you know, and you have to pick up garbage, and you decide, you know what? I don't think I get paid enough. I'm not going to pick up the garbage then. Well, you're going to get fired, you know, plain and simple. And the thing about Taz, while I like him as a color commentator, I think he's really great. He is not somebody that I can say that I could say, oh, you know what? I agree with Taz. Maybe Jim Ross, maybe, but you know, he's really the only person I can think of that I could say, yeah, you know, he's somebody that's above that. I actually really disagree here, and I think that Taz is making a big mistake.
Exactly, because what else is he going to do? Because when you think about it, there's only two places to go right now, and you know Ring of Honor is not going to want him because he'll want a bunch of money. They won't be able to afford him. There is a place he may go to, though, and I don't remember the name of the promotion.
GFW?
No, not them. The other promotion that actually is going to be in more homes. They just signed with him. It's like the old TV Guide channel. There's going to be a wrestling promotion on there. I just don't remember what the name of the thing is. It's like 2CW or something like that.
Oh, I'm not even familiar with this.
Yeah, the channel is like, okay, something. Anyways, but that's the only real place that Taz could go. So because he can't wrestle. So he could, you know, potentially go to be a guest trainer here and there. But that's it. Mm-hmm. He really has nowhere else to go besides that.
So, yeah. I think that it's a big mistake. I totally agree with you. And, you know, speaking of the delayed checks, you know, Matt Hardy tweeted out a picture showing all of the checks that he got at once, you know, and so it goes to show that TNA is having some money issues again. I got to ask you, Andy, is TNA in trouble?
Sort of. I don't believe that they are in big trouble, but sometimes when you why are they still getting paper checks, first of all? That's what I don't understand. What?
I saw that and I thought the same thing. Like, have you not heard of direct deposit? Really?
And also, because, yes, it does cost to do that. But the money that you save, because every time, and this goes for any business, if you have a business checking account, they charge you for every check that you write. Then you have to mail that check. So, hypothetically, it could cost that company 60 cents to send that check out when a wire transfer would cost them 30 cents. You know, and I'm actually think I'm wrong. I think it's only like 12 cents to do that transfer. So realistically, you're cheaper doing the wire transfer. But I thought it was interesting. I didn't realize that TJ Perkins actually put out his annual salary from his check, though. I couldn't believe that. He took a picture of it with his real name and how much he makes for a full year.
Oh, I didn't see that. How much does he make?
$4,000.
No.
That was just my bad attempt at a joke. But yeah, so Manic decided to put his real name, Theodore, on the check. I was surprised he didn't put the exact routing number and everything, but, you know, whatever. So do you think that TNA's in trouble here?
I think that TNA is definitely making some very bad decisions. And I think I wouldn't say trouble, But I think that, you know, they've let Destination America come in and kind of write some rules for them. And now that they're, you know, doing the check thing again, that's a bad sign, you know, and they have certain wrestlers there that command a good salary. You know, Jeff Hardy is going to be somebody, Robert Roode, Kurt Angle. You know, these are some big name people that would make a lot of money, and therefore they're going to cost TNA a little bit extra. And so if you see them getting checks delayed or any of the lower people, when you see this, that's not a good sign at all. And so I'm not saying that, you know, it's not Death Watch, you know, 2015 for TNA, but I think that we may see not a mass exodus, but I think that within the next 6 months, we're going to be talking about somebody really big leaving TNA.
AJ Styles?
I think he might leave TNA.
He already did. See, that's my problem. I mean, I don't think they're in trouble, but I don't like the fact that they take time to pay wrestlers when they should just, you know, pay them and not, you know, I can understand if you're getting paid, like you get paid twice a month and there's only been two shows that aired. Okay, then you get paid. Okay, I understand that. But when they have those two shows and you haven't got that paycheck and you're just waiting and waiting and waiting, you know, there's a point where you you draw the line in the sand and say, listen, pay me on time or I quit. But I'm just wondering who, you know, who's going to be the first guy to actually say that. I mean, we could say Samoa Joe, but he's already gone. But Dan O'Brien actually may be in some major pain right now. And not the wrestler major pain, but some pain. Whereabouts? Oh,
that is a terrible, terrible pun. That's terrible.
That was awesome. So, Aaron, what's the story on this?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of reports that have come out, you know, and normally we don't speculate on some rumors, but I think that this is a pretty big one and has some validity to it. Daniel Bryan has been wrestling in tag matches, you know, six man tags. You know, he's been doing all these types of matches where he's not the main focus. And they say it's because he's wrestling hurt right now. And it makes sense. It really does. Unfortunately, that's the problem, though. A lot of these types of rumors, they make sense. And I think that this is one where we're not seeing him in one-on-one matches. In fact, the only one that we saw him in was him versus Sheamus, where Sheamus kind of kicked the crap out of him. And after that, it's been six in tag matches.
So you're saying that possibly he just tweaked something and that's really what happened?
Basically, yeah.
All right. Hey, were you surprised that WWE actually released every place they're going to basically for the next 12 months? Were you surprised that got leaked out?
They had to. It was part of a court thing that they had to do. So all that stuff was leaked out. I was very happy to see that Seattle was back on there. In fact, we're getting a Monday Night Raw, which I was really excited about. I think it was either right after Fastlane or right before it. So it'll be a really good Raw.
Now, are you surprised that Seattle is considered a C town?
They were B.
They're a B town.
No, that doesn't surprise me at all because I 100% agree with that. I think that Seattle is definitely a B town. The only time that Seattle has really been big was the Raw that myself and friend of the show Roger Cave went to when they raised the two titles above the ring. They had all the past champions in there. Daniel Bryan was in there. Seattle made Triple H stop talking because we were chanting Daniel Bryan so loud. And it was just one of the, like, honestly, for me, it just melted my heart and filled me with so much joy that we made Triple H shut up because we were chanting Daniel Bryan.
So you're happy that he couldn't talk?
Seriously, you have no idea how happy that made. Like, I feel like I was part of a moment. And that was the biggest thing about that night. Because it was replayed on the Daniel Bryan Monster promo where they show him and then our chants were going there because they were so thunderous. It was insane. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think for me, it was kind of a pretty big win. So
what do you think about the WWE the WWE, of course, but DirecTV possibly running WWE pay-per-views again?
I think we touched on this a few weeks back, but I think it's a smart move. You know, you need to run that. If anything else, you're losing revenue by not running it.
Yeah, that's true. And I was actually kind of hoping they would actually make it as an add-on. But, you know, I guess it's only in Canada they're doing that right now. I really hope it brings it to the United States because it'd be nice. You know, you're on Comcast. It'd be nice to have that extra channel, you know, where you pay the $10 a month, and then you get that on TV and as well online, which would be, to me, really awesome. But anyways, let's talk some WWE programming for this week. John Cena and Rusev are going to be in a Russian chain match. Now, is this going to be different or is it just going to be a chain match?
It's going to be so from what was tweeted out, it's going to be a strap match with a chain. And so you're going to be able to whip the person with the chain. Now, obviously, the chain is going to be gimmicked somehow, because if you got hit with a chain, that would freaking hurt. I mean, just no bones about that. So there's going to be something that'll make it so it's not too bad. But what do you think? I know that we don't see strap matches too often, so it's kind of cool to see one. What do you think? Are you excited to see a strap match?
Yeah, I don't like them. There's some gimmick matches I like, but this one just seems weird. I like chain matches because you can make it seem like it's more vicious than what it really is. But strap matches are one of those weird things where I'm like, yeah, like they could have done something better. But it feels like there was just a strap match recently, but I just don't remember who did it. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I think it actually was, I want to say Sheamus and Mark Henry or something like that.
That sounds about right, actually.
Yeah, I think it was at last year's one, too. So
I guess it seems like there's too much then.
I wouldn't say that. In fact, if I remember correctly, if memory serves me right, you were actually really excited for that one, weren't you?
Yeah, I think so. Because we haven't seen one. No, because we haven't seen one in so long. And then all of a sudden they're like, we're going to do a strap match. I'm like, oh, man, that's awesome. I've been waiting to see one of these matches for a while. And yeah, I mean, that's about it.
Well, they're not terribly exciting. And so, you know, you're going to just get something. You're just getting one little thing. I'm actually kind of excited for it because I like John Cena now. You know, I shouldn't say now, but I've been seeing his praises recently. You know, I'm pretty sure that John Cena is going to win, but it'll still be a pretty nice match. And I actually like Rusev with Cena. They've been putting on some really great wrestling, I would say.
Ah. Oh, by the way, just to let you know, we talked about something earlier and I touched on it for just a moment, but I want to clarify. The wrestling promotion is a Paragon Pro Wrestling PPW. They signed a long-term TV deal with Pop TV. Pop TV was the former TV Guide channel, just to let you know. It has people like Jesse Sorensen on there, Joey Ryan, Gangrel. So let's get back to WWE programming, because that's about it. But they're going to be on that if you want to check it out. So we'll see. Roman Reigns, of course, I almost said Bobby Roode. Roman Reigns versus Big Show. But this one's interesting. It's going to be a last man standing match. I actually like these matches because you can beat the crap out of the guy and he can still get up by the 10 count. So I enjoy these matches because the one that comes to mind that I thought was the coolest is when Mick Foley did one with The Rock. And if I'm correct, he somehow put a crate on The Rock so he couldn't get up. Mm-hmm. And they counted to 10, which I thought was one of the funniest things ever. Actually, that might have been a match in between the Super Bowl, if I'm correct. I could be wrong. But anyways, I thought that's why that match always comes to mind. So this is going to be interesting because Roman Reigns, by the way, was actually decent on the mic. I still don't like him, but Big Show just retired. just saying. Yeah.
So last man standing match, these are okay for me. I actually prefer Texas death matches, which are a slight alteration with that. With a last man standing match, technically the ref can just count to 10 whenever anyone is down. Whereas a Texas death match, you have to pin the person first. And after you pin them, that's when the counting starts. And I prefer that just because you don't have all of these super false finishes. And typically in a Texas death match, you'd see like maybe 3-4 at the most. And that's the one minor thing here. What we're going to see, they're going to try to make Roman look very strong and also make him look smart. And so you're going to probably see Roman Reigns do something that, you know, we've seen before where, you know, he handcuffs somebody's legs together, wraps duct tape around it, you know, something along those lines in order to get one over on the Big Show. I think that this is a pretty easy one to call. I think that Cena's definitely going to win. Big Show's going to win. I think Daniel Bryan is most likely going to win. But then we also have Randy Orton and Seth Rollins, which that one we found out is going to be a cage match. And Seth Rollins' stipulation is that there's no RKO. So that means that Randy Orton would have to win basically with the pun.
But could he win with the diamond cutter?
Oh, really?
It's different. Really? There is a difference.
That's not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Well, he could say, I got permission because I went to my DDP yoga class in Atlanta, Georgia.
Not going
to
happen.
And because of that, he gave me the okay to use the diamond cutter.
So why don't we actually talk what will happen?
Okay, what will happen? He will use the RKO. That's pretty obvious.
And he'll get disqualified then.
No, he'll use it when the ref isn't looking or when there's a ref bump because you know that's this, you know, it's coming.
Who wins this match?
Oh, easily Rollins does.
Okay.
Because what's going to happen is that he's going to say, no, check the replay, or J&J Security is going to say, check the replay. And they're going to have a replay come up and it's going to show him using the RKO. But what I would love to do is if they're like, no, that's different. The diamond cutter is what that was, but. Anyways, Rollins will definitely retain here. This is pretty obvious. I would like to see Randy Orton get DQ'd, though. I think that would be funny. You know, have him give him the RKO like 5 or 6 times just because he's in the cage and no one can do anything about it.
Yeah, well, I think what will probably end up happening is that I could see Orton, you know, like getting frustrated, going for the punt, and then somehow, you know, of course, the authority gets involved and then Rollins escapes the cage. And so he RKOs everyone in sight. I think the problem here, I really enjoyed WrestleMania. I thought it was a really fantastic pay-per-view, great ending. And I think the biggest problem with the next pay-per-view is they're never going to live up to what happened at WrestleMania. They're never going to. And none of these matches, they're all super predictable. You know exactly what's going to happen. And that's my biggest problem with it right now.
Yeah, I almost wish someone had a money in the bank they could cash in. I mean, that would almost sound perfect, but you just know that they're not going to, you know, give him the title right now. So you already know that's going to happen. That's not going to happen. So, man, this is a tough one. And the thing is,
are you excited for the pay-per-view? Like when it happens, are you going to be like, man, I can't wait to see it? Or is it more like, eh?
Nothing's going to top that RKO out of nowhere. Nothing's going to top that. So that's why this match is tough for me. But the pay-per-view itself, I'm actually kind of excited about. Of course, it's free for everyone who's a noob subscriber. But it's definitely something to look forward to, especially if you're new to the network and you want to see a good pay-per-view. I think this is one will actually be a solid one. It'll be more of a solid Raw than a solid pay-per-view.
I would agree with that. I think that's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, because, I mean, without Brock Lesnar, without having, like, Undertaker, without having, like, a big marquee name, I think that's the problem with this pay-per-view. So, anyway, let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs, a free site builder, and hands on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, OffTheMark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WWEShop.com. So, talk is Jericho. Initially, I was like, ah, John Cena. But when it was all said and done, it seemed more of a conversation about road stories, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was funny. There was one story he told about Tajiri and Ultimo Dragon that I couldn't stop laughing at. He said because they always talk with thick accents, and then all of a sudden, was it Tajiri?
Tajiri, I think.
And then all of a sudden, he just talked normal. And like they said, was it they slammed on the brakes and turned around and looked at him? They're like, because he wanted Burger King. He's like, he said something like, I want Burger King and a Whopper or whatever. And everyone stopped and they're like, what? Is there in a minivan, as he put it. Mm-hmm. That story had me rolling because I don't know. I don't know why, but I just couldn't stop laughing about that story.
Yeah. You know, I enjoyed. So I listen to Jericho's podcast on a regular basis. I know that you know, it's not as frequently as me. But I love Jericho's stories when he interviewed Christian or Lance Storm or Vicky Guerrero. It was really great because it was like two friends just catching up. And I think that's really cool. And I really like Jericho's stories of that because you can tell he's really relaxed and they're just shooting the breeze. That's it. You know, the problem is when he has somebody on there who's not his friend, it's like, you know, like you're not even really interviewing them. You're just like asking some random questions that don't really make a ton of sense. And you're kind of being a crappy host, to be honest. I mean, you know, he explained it as, oh, I'm kind of the Johnny Carson, you know, I want to make sure that people want to come on my show. And whereas Stone Cold's is very different. And you can tell that based on his two podcasts that he did with WWE. With that said, this one was okay. It was not Stone Cold's, and it was not one that, you know, I had to tune into to watch, whereas Stone Cold's, when he was with Triple H and Vince McMahon, I watched those live, and you kind of had to, you know, you really had to just to see what he was going to say, and he said, you know, or he brought up things that were just crazy, whereas, you know, Jericho was like, hey, let's just talk about the old times. So let me ask you, actually, which did you prefer? Did you prefer Austin's in your face antics, or did you like Jericho's let's just have a conversation?
I prefer Jericho's just have a conversation, but I prefer when Stone Cold talked to Vince the first time. I know it was the first one they've done, but I thought it was good because he asked him some questions that, yes, they were all like corporate answers, you know, especially with stuff with the one guy that left. And I thought that he was very political, and it seemed like every question that Stone Cold asked Vince, they already knew about. And I don't think Cena knew a lot of the questions. I think there were some that, you know, because they had the graphics in the background and stuff. And I knew you could tell that those were some talking points. But I think Jericho, he's done a really good job of transitioning people to talk about the next topic. So it feels like a conversation. Mm-hmm. And like there's times like when we do the show that I will say that's our best show we've ever done, because you can't tell that we were transitioning to stuff or we didn't have to announce that we're going to this topic. We just slowly transitioned over to it. And then you're like, oh, wow, that, you know, that was a great show. That was great. We did that. But Jericho, his seemed to flow way better than anyone. It's like he knew what Cena was going to answer. And it's almost like you have to know what the end game of that or question that you're going to ask the person, where it's going to come from there. You know, like a big, you know, I'm a fan of one guy on Sirius, and I think his interviews over the last 5 years since I've listened to him have gotten better each time. And I think with Jericho, I've listened to his first, I think, two, and I thought he was okay, but then I didn't listen to him at all. Then I listened to this one. I'm like, wow, this is really good. So hands down to Jericho, he did an excellent show. Like, especially something for the WWE Network. Now you listen to his show a lot. Is this usually how the show is on for his, where it flows that way?
Yeah, for the most part. He actually, this past week, he had on there Josh McDermott, I want to say his name is. He plays Eugene on The Walking Dead. And that was actually one of my favorite ones he's ever done. It was just a really great conversation. Very Johnny Carson-esque, which is what that one should be. Stone Cold's is definitely, you know, he has a conversation typically with you. It just really depends, though, because if it's with Stone Cold, when he asks the tough questions, those are the ones I really like, because that way you're going to get more of an honest answer, I feel. And Jericho, it's just more, hey, how was your day today? Did you notice that there was rain? You know, things like that. And it's I don't mind those, but I only like them when they're with certain people.
Do you think that, like they said, they're going to do another one with Jericho, you know, the talk is Jericho. Mm-hmm. Do you think it would be interesting if you brought other people in? As in, you know, like, you know, bring back Stone Cold, which, by the way, I like what Stone Cold said about the stunner that Cena was using.
Yeah, he did say it was a, you know, a crappy version of his.
Well, but he also said it's a dangerous move, which is correct. I mean, when you do it when you do the springboard stunner, that is difficult. He could have done something else. It's a lot easier, but whatever.
He really practiced it and really wanted to show it off.
Yes, you could tell he did. He's like, hey, Biggie, I know you're lifted, but I want to try this move out. Or no, he's like, Nikki, come here. I want to try this move out on you. Springboard. So I would like to see other shows. I like, you know, Talk to Jericho. I like to be I like to see Stone Cold do it again. I also would like to see JR do his. I've never listened to a JR podcast, but I would.
I don't like his as much. You know, I would say probably, you know, Art of Wrestling, for the ones that I've listened to, Art of Wrestling is probably the best one. After that is Stone Cold, then Jericho. And then, you know, way down the list would be JR's. And it's, you know, I have a lot of respect for him and I think he's fantastic. I just don't care for his, you know, at least the ones I've listened to. I don't think that they're very good. And he constantly talks about the old days and he constantly, you know, says that Ring of Honor is not a good promotion because of X, Y, and Z. And I, don't get me wrong. There's, you know, we criticize WWE and some of the writing and directions that they take. But at the same time, we also praise them for the good stuff that they do. And I feel that JR doesn't do that.
What about Goldberg? Because he's another one. I mean, if you had to pick four guys, I mean, I assume Goldberg stinks. But yeah, if you have those four guys that are doing shows.
Goldberg would be at the very bottom.
OK, what about Ric Flair? Because I heard he's doing one now.
He's going to be doing one. Taz is doing one now. The problem is that, you know, you don't have as many hours in the day as you would like. And when you have to choose the ones that you choose, first of all, you should always choose this one because we give you up-to-date information about what's going on in the world of professional wrestling. But if you're doing one where you want to listen to some of the old timers and, you know, their stories that they tell, then, you know, I would say that, you know, Art of Wrestling is really great. The problem is that Colt Cabana has definitely burnt bridges with WWE. So you're not going to see any current WWE wrestlers on there. Instead, you're going to see former. So, I mean, that's going to be that's kind of the downside with that. So really, Stone Cold's is one of the best ones that you're going to really listen to, I would say.
All right. But do you think that, you know, instead of having just Talk as Jericho on there, do you think they bring Stone Cold back, maybe do a JR one, you know, throw Goldberg a bone, you know, have him come on there, see if the fans really want to see him again?
Goldberg, probably not. You know, if I were WWE, if I was running this, I would say we need to do another one with Jericho, just have some random person on there. There are in talks apparently right now to have JR do his one man show on the network, which I think is fantastic. The other thing I would say, too, that I think that they should do is that they should have Mick Foley do some of his stand up on there. That's what I would do. And you could make it very easy. Just have an hour special of Mick Foley doing some stand up. And the way that I would do it is you just say, you know, Mick, use, you know, some random stuff. Don't use your main material because some of these people, they're going to want to see your shows. So, you know, you want to be smart about it. You know, like any professional comedian, they don't go and tour the circuit, do the exact same jokes. They always do different ones. So that's what I would do.
Basically, you can't tell behind the scenes jokes, like stuff maybe, I, you know, use the term like gorilla, kayfabe, stuff like that.
Well, he does that, but you would want to have.
But not on a WWE Network show, you couldn't do. That's the thing. That's what I'm trying to get at. Like,
could. I mean, they break that all the time. They did that with Jericho's podcast. They did that with Austin. You know, they're pretty smart about breaking kayfabe. You know, CM Punk did that with his documentary. You know,
he did.
Yeah, he definitely broke kayfabe quite a few times.
I thought we weren't going to talk about him anymore.
I'm only bringing him up in a conversation. I'm not talking about anything else.
I said something about that before. Anyways, I wonder how his training's doing. Good luck to him. Hawks, by the way, Hawks, go Blackhawks. Yeah, with the network, okay, like they're gonna do, they possibly do the one man thing. Like Mick Foley with his comedy thing, I almost wish he would just do like a 30-minute set, even a 20-minute set, something along those lines. Just have him do that.
20-minute he couldn't do. It would have to be an hour. Honestly, it would because he ties things together.
No, but the thing is, if you do it, let's say they record like 35, 40 minutes of it. You compress it down to 30 minutes by maybe editing this out or editing that out so the people want more. Maybe it's something where he'll, you know, maybe in, you know, every quarter he does another 30 minutes, or every month he does a 30-minute or a 20-minute monologue, basically. You could have that so it's right after Raw, so, you know, people will tune in to see it. I'm just hoping that the WWE does not, because right now podcasting is back, as you know, I can see by our numbers. I don't want them to oversaturate the market by having every wrestler have their own podcast.
Well, I think that's the problem. That's what's happened already, because, you know, we have been doing this for, what, 5 years now, right? Over 5 years.
264 episodes along with 16 specials, which ends up being 280 shows we've done with one special waiting. Yeah.
So we've done a number of these shows. After we started doing it, Colt Cabana started doing his, because obviously he learned from us.
Well, exactly.
And then after that, we had Stone Cold and then Jericho. And so they do theirs twice a week. And, you know, now we have Taz, we have JR, Ric Flair, apparently, you know, all these people are doing podcasts. The problem that happens is, you know, ours is very different. We talk about the storylines of the week. You know, they typically don't. They might talk about WrestleMania or, you know, whatever pay-per-view is coming up. But typically it's just, you know, we're interviewing someone. The problem lies where, how many times can you listen to a Kevin Nash interview? And it's not a knock against Kevin Nash or Razor Ramon or DDP. You know, how many times can you do that? Because guess what? They've been on Colt Cabana. They've been on Jericho. They've been on Stone Cold. They've probably been on JR, and they maybe on Goldberg or Taz. Who knows? Like, that's the problem. And so even though you like listening to these people, how many times can you hear them tell the exact same story over and over and over and over again? And so I think that they are oversaturating the market. And so you're only going to have the cream rise to the top. And I think that is Jericho and Stone Cold's, because they are two very different entities than the other ones. I think Taz's is probably going to last less than a year, and then he's going to be done. Same thing with Flair. He's going to do it on an irregular basis. Goldberg, I don't even know what he's doing. JR, I think he records these well in advance. So that's the only reason why he's still doing them.
Yeah. And I think some of JR's, you can tell that he's recorded parts of it early. Like, I do a radio show or a radio announcement, basically. It's only like 2 or 3 minutes long. But there's a lot of stuff that I'll record, and then I'll add stuff into that same recording. And to me, that's what JR sounds like. If he doesn't do that, well, it sounds like he does. You know, you can, there's only, like you said, there's only so many hours in the day. You have to pick the best shows. You're right. Taz will not do it. I think JR will still do it. I don't know about Goldberg, because I know he is money first and then love, if that makes sense. Like, we do this because we love to do it. It's not about the money. And I believe that with him, that's how it is. But Ric Flair, I think he'll do it because it's a gimmicky thing. He'll probably do 10 shows and then be like, oh, I'm not going to do it anymore. But mm-hmm. I think that Jericho is going to slowly, he's doing 2 a week. I bet he ends up doing 1 a week here shortly.
You kind of have to, because we could do 2 a week, but I think 1 a week is way better. And we don't oversaturate our own fans. And that's the biggest thing. And I think that Jericho and Stone Cold are doing that. And honestly, Stone Cold is kind of running out of material. You know, that this week alone has been kind of and lackluster. And the week before that was really lackluster, too. So it happens.
Yeah, it does. But, you know, appreciate everyone who listens to our show. And yeah, you can check the other ones out, but make sure that we're always number one on your list. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.